All right, it's top of the hour. Time for the next slide here, or next presentation. So this is MongoBaseball.net. My name is David Hurster, and quick introduction of who I am. So I'm a five-time .NET Visual C Sharp's MVP. I'm a senior solutions architect at Confluence. I'm based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm organized. I deal a lot with some community events here, so around with Pittsburgh Tech Fest, starting up a reactive developers group here in Pittsburgh, and I used to run the .NET users group here in Pittsburgh also. My contact information is down here at the bottom, so my Twitter, blog, and email handle. Email is probably the best way to get a hold of me if you have questions about this topic, but definitely follow me on Twitter, and I should be blogging a little bit more about some of these topics later on over the weekend and the next week or two. I want to introduce our moderator. I'll let Sam take it from there, but Sam Nasser is our moderator today.
Thanks, Dave. Hello, everyone. My name is Sam Nasser, as Dave said. I've been a software developer since 1995 and been working as a software consultant during that, specializing only in the Microsoft arena. Like Dave, I'm also heavily involved in the user group community. Community champ and been author for Visual Studio Magazine and MVP for the last couple of years. Before I turn it over to Dave, I just wanted to let everyone know that no question will go unanswered. If we don't have time to answer it at this time, we certainly will address it shortly afterwards. And Dave will bring up a slide later of additional contact information and how we can continue the conversation after the presentation. So with that, I will turn it over to Dave.
Thanks, Sam. Okay, so we're going to talk about MongoBaseball.net, which is a fun little title, right? So this is not, not a real serious or presentation. This is kind of, we're going to have fun with Mongo, have fun with .NET, play around with the aggregation framework within Mongo, and see some of the interesting things we can do with a whole lot of data. So just some basic assumptions to kind of help throughout this presentation. So there is the assumption that, you know, you have some basic understanding of document databases like MongoDB. You don't have to know the ins and outs of everything, but just sort of know the basics of, you know, the difference between a document database and a SQL a relational type of database. So just the basic understandings of that. Some familiarity with querying in MongoDB. If you understand, you know, how Mongo kind of queries, it's basically just JSON documents. We're just searching for elements within the documents that are stored within MongoDB, and how things are organized in terms of databases, collections, and documents. That's a general assumption. It's not really necessary, but it probably will help once we start looking at some of the screenshots of some of the code that we're working with. I'll be showing screenshots both of things through the Mongo shell and also C# code of communicating with Mongo. So probably one of those two views should probably look somewhat familiar. And then just a general understanding of baseball. You don't have to be a baseball wizard, but understanding, you know, the general dynamics of how the game works, you know, hits, outs, runs, innings, that type of stuff. So nothing too advanced. So baseball statistics, I am a huge fan of the game of baseball, and I think probably one of the reasons I love it so much is because of just the wealth of statistics that are there. Just the amount of data that is collected for just a single baseball game is amazing. And people have been using all this data for baseball to calculate statistics for years. And so the basics of batting averages and on-base percentages and earned run averages have been around for a long time. But since the early 1970s, there's kind of been this underground movement of people just going that extra step of saying, you know what, batting average is good, but there's really lots of other ways to look at how a hitter or a pitcher or a fielder performs. And there's lots of data around that. So let's maybe figure out other ways to calculate this data, really figure out who's really good and who's not as good as we think they may be. So there's actually a society. And so Bill James is one of those pioneers of this underground movement. And the people that are involved with this underground movement, they kind of formed their own little society called the Society of American Baseball Research, or SABRE. And they really are sort of the champions of these really intricate and kind of over-the-top type of statistics that are collected and calculated for baseball. So there's a whole host of alphabet soup abbreviations for all different types of stats out there. So WOBA, and we'll actually talk about these first two, WOBA and WRAA, later on. WAR is a really big one, the wins above replacement. There's actually multiple ways to calculate WAR, so we're not going to touch this one, but because there's several different ways. But actually, WOBA and WRAA actually feed into WAR. And there's things like DIPS and, of course, NERD. And so there's just a host of all types of stats are out there. And the thing is, as you know, with today's computing power, the amount of data that's out there, the amount of data that's being collected, the whole area of big data is just lending itself to making baseball statistic collection and calculation just all the greater. So baseball teams all around the major leagues and going into the minor leagues are hiring big data people now to actually go in and crank stats and figure out new and interesting ways to evaluate players to actually figure out who's the best player for the money. So it really is Moneyball, and big data is playing a huge role in that. And so we'll kind of play around with Mongo to sort of simulate some of that stuff. And the data that we'll be using primarily today will be from Sean Layman's baseball database. So Sean Layman is a I think he calls himself a database journalist. He writes for several publications, and every year he publishes a open source database of baseball statistics. And his stats go all the way back to the late 1800s, and so you can check out Babe Ruth's batting averages and pitching stats and all that. So it's a wealth of information, and it's freely available, which is amazing. So getting into querying Mongo's data. So when we query data in Mongo, basically what we're doing is from our client, now whatever client that happens to be, we're essentially issuing a JSON document to that server, to that Mongo server. And really it's an operation of a find or a find one. And in link, it's kind of like a where and select or a first and single type of method. So I want to just get everything in a particular collection within Mongo where certain criteria are met. Or I just want to pull out just a single document at a time. And querying in Mongo and pulling data out is a basic cursor type of functionality. So if you think of like a data reader in terms of your interaction between your client and Mongo, that's the general relationship that we have. The Mongo C# driver in your .NET client, you can download that as a NuGet package. And recently there was a major update to the C# driver, so it's now at version 2.0. And it's a significant change from the version 1x versions of the drivers that are out there. So keep that in mind. A lot of the examples that we'll show today use the 2.0 version, but I have a couple towards the end that still use the 1x version. So you kind of see the back and forth and how they differ. And we'll have a couple slides here that show sort of that difference between the two. But the main focus that we're going to have today is looking at not just querying against Mongo, but really using Mongo's aggregation pipeline. And so Mongo's aggregation pipeline is sort of taking querying to another step. And it's really taking the data that you want to work with within Mongo and being able to take it and move it through different stages. So if you're a command line type of person, or if you've worked in like Unix in the past, you probably use like a pipe type of command. I want to do some sort of action and then pipe it to another action and take the result of that action and pipe it to some other action. And that's really what the aggregation pipeline is very similar to. So you perform some basic action. Maybe it's just selecting everything out of a collection. And I want to take those results and I want to pipe it to something else that maybe groups that data together and maybe perform some aggregation calculations like sums and averages. And I want to take the result of that and maybe I want to sort it a certain way. And then maybe I want to output it to some other collection that I'm going to use later on. So the whole idea around Mongo's aggregation pipeline is that I work with data, I do one basic operation on it, and then essentially it gets piped to the next stage. So, for example, I could take data coming out of a collection, run it through a match pipeline stage. And a match pipeline stage sounds pretty much like a filter that we would handle in Link. So that's basically what a match does. Match basically just says, this is my filter criteria. Maybe I'm searching on a year or a player ID or somebody hit 20 home runs or more. That would be handled in a match stage. And I take the results from that match stage, and I might then pipe it to another stage. Maybe it's a project stage. So maybe I want to take those raw results coming out of match and shape it a little bit differently. So sort of like a link select. I want to shape it. Maybe I perform a couple other calculations on that data. But I want to just, form it into something I want to use later. Maybe it's an anonymous type. But maybe it's an actual type that I know about within my system, or some DTO type that I want to turn back to my client. And then maybe a third stage that I could potentially work with would be like a sort stage. So take those results coming out of the project stage and sort them, maybe ascending or descending value. It doesn't really matter. But that's kind of the whole general process of Mongo's aggregation pipeline. And you can string together as many of these pipeline stages as you need in order to accomplish the results that you want. So there's a number of operations available. As Mongo keeps maturing and keeps offering more and more functionality, they may have additional pipeline operators available. The ones that are listed on this slide are probably a good number that you'd use on a regular basis. And most of them have a pretty good translation to either relational database terminology, or if you've worked with Link in the past, they kind of line up with Link pretty well. So a group pipeline operation is kind of like a group by in Link, or a group by in a relational database environment. We already talked about match. So match is kind of like a where statement in SQL or where in Link. Project is like your select, both in environments. Sort obviously is your order by type of operation. Limit is like a take in Link, top in relational database terminology. Maybe you want to skip ahead. Maybe you want to skip a certain number of records. You're doing some sort of paging or something. So there's a skip stage that's available. Redact is an interesting one. That's one of the newer operations that was added. We have an example later on that uses redact. Redact is sort of like a match with a little bit of extra power to it. So it basically just looks at certain criteria and can remove entire documents from that stream. And out is basically a pipeline stage which allows you to persist the results of the previous stage to another collection in Mongo. So instead of just keeping it in memory throughout the entire trip, I could call an out pipeline stage and actually put it down to an actual collection in Mongo. So the Mongo aggregation pipeline really replaces the older MapReduce functionality that Mongo had. And while MapReduce is extremely flexible, you can pretty much do almost anything within MapReduce functionality. Aggregation pipeline, while it is a little bit more limiting than MapReduce, it's much more efficient than a MapReduce type of operation. So again, aggregation pipeline, you can combine as many of these different stages as you need, basically, you're just issuing that aggregation command off to the Mongo database. So if we take a look at what an aggregation pipeline operation would look like, and this is within the Mongo shell. And actually, I'm using RoboMongo here as my shell interface. But what I'm doing here is I'm actually going against the batting database or the batting that I have in my Mongo database, and I'm calling an aggregate function on that. And in this case, I have two stages that I have a match pipeline stage and a project pipeline stage. And so the order of the stages is important. So the match, which is listed first, it's going to be executed first. And so what I'm doing is I'm just matching everything in that batting collection where the year happens to equal 2013. And so the results of all those documents in the batting collection that have a year of 2013 are then basically returned from that match pipeline stage and then piped into that following project pipeline stage. And in that pipeline stage, what I'm basically saying is that I want to hold on to the player ID, the year, the team ID fields. That's why there's a one after that. So sometimes Mongo is a little cryptic in terms of how it creates these documents. But one basically means I want that field. Zero would mean that field. And then I'm creating a new field on the fly called AVG, average. And I want to calculate the batting average of each player for the year 2013. And so what I'm specifying is that I have a condition that I want to, a conditional statement that I want to perform in order to calculate average. Because if someone has a zero at bats for that particular year, when I perform a batting average calculation, which is it's divided by at bats, I'm going to get a divide by zero error. So I need to make sure I don't encounter that error. I want to be able to get my data back. So what I do is I say, well, if the at bats field equals zero, that's what the if line is stating, then I want just the average field to be zero. Otherwise, perform a divide operation which divides the hits by. So when you look at the, this is really a JSON or JSON.NET. When you look at that, you kind of read through it and you kind of see, okay, that's kind of what's happening when I calculate a batting average. So it's a lot of text to type in. But what you end up doing is you end up taking, I get a player ID, a year, a team, and that player's batting average for that particular year and that particular team. So pretty simple, right? So that's great, but now let's maybe take another step and say, I want to add on some additional pipeline stages to this. So I want to maybe sort by average in descending order. Because I want to see who has the highest batting average, for that particular year, because I'm really interested in the people with the best batting average. But when I do that, though, I'm actually going to run into a slight issue. So I've added this sort pipeline operation at the bottom, and I'm sorting by average, and its average is a minus one, which in Mongo terminology for the sort pipeline means descending order. So take the highest first and then go in descending order. But I am actually going to run into an issue when I do this because certain types of players, like pitchers or maybe people who've only been in the league just for a couple days or whatever, they might be they've had 10 at bats and they've gotten to several hits, but their batting average is kind of out of whack. Like it's artificially high. They haven't played an entire season, so maybe we want to make sure we only have players in our pipeline stage that have the minimum required at bats in order to be considered for a batting title, let's say. And so generally it's 3.1 plate appearances for a 162 game season, so it's 502 at bats qualifies you to be in the batting average title race. So what we want to do is we want to modify the match aggregation pipeline to not only filter out just those players in year 2013, but also those players whose at-bats are greater than or equal to 502. So we've modified that first pipeline stage, and so we've added on another condition into our match pipeline. So by default, those are anded together. There's also an OR operator if we needed to do that. So greater than or equal to is another operator that Mongo provides. So greater than or equal to 502. And then we've also said at the very bottom, I have 25 batting averages for that particular year. So I've added a limit stage at the end. So that's going to take basically the top 25 batting averages. So that's pretty easy and is somewhat readable. But if we were to translate that into C sharp, I think our initial reaction would be, oh, that's easy. That's basically, I just need to get a queryable for that collection, and I'm just going to do a select type of projection on that. And I'll just create this new simple batter class that I've already defined somewhere else. And I'll just set the ID and player ID and team ID and year and calculate my average on the fly and take the first 50 or whatever that number happens to be. And I'll return the results back. And that's pretty simple, right? Piece of cake. And that's actually using the 1x driver, that code. If we were to take a look at the code with the 2x driver or the 2.0 driver, it's a little bit different. And there's a couple of nice little things that have been added in with the 2.0 version of the Mongo driver. You notice first off that there's async support now. So I can actually return an async or a task of IEnumerable simple batters back from my get average call. And what the driver now does is it actually separates out, or you can separate out the definition of your projections from your actual work. So notice that my call at the bottom where I'm getting the results, I've already defined my projection expression up above, and I'm basically just handing that into a projection helper method. And so the Mongo driver basically takes all this information and essentially constructs a JSON document that's going to issue off to the Mongo server. But again, it's fairly readable. It looks pretty much like the 1x code, and everything's pretty good. So I would get back those top 25, or in this case, top 50 batting averages for the year 2013. But, and there's always a but, that actually isn't 100% accurate. It's not truly performing an aggregation like we did in the Mongo shell. The big difference is that what we did was we basically pulled back every item in that batting collection. We brought it back down to our client, and then we performed the filter. And so if our collections are fairly small, it's probably not noticeable. So if you were to look at this code, pretty much everything up to find here is done on the server. Everything else, the project and the limit, are done on the client. Now, if we have pretty large data sets, then that can become very expensive. We really would like that operation to actually to work on the server. We don't really want it to work partially on the server and partially on the client. So, and that's really where the aggregation pipeline shines. In the aggregation pipeline, when I construct that aggregation pipeline, sets of stages, and when I issue that off to the server, that entire aggregation pipeline will be executed on the server, and then the results essentially then just get streamed back to me. So with every I guess problem, there's always probably another problem that goes with it. With creating an aggregation pipeline in .NET, if you're using the 1x version of the driver, your only choice is to use BSON documents, and we'll get into that in a couple of slides. And they're not real pretty. In the 2.0 version of the Mongo client, they've introduced some aggregation helpers to help with the creation of these BSON documents. In essence, though, your aggregation pipeline is always a BSON document that's getting sent to the server. The aggregation helpers are merely just, facades around creating that BSON document. You can still create a BSON document and use the 2.0 version of the driver and issue it off to the server, and it would still work the same. And actually, the later examples that I have, because they're very complex, the aggregation helpers kind of break down once you start getting fairly complex, and so you may have to fall back to using just plain old BSON documents. So keep that in mind, and that's what we're going to start working with now here over the next remaining minutes that we have. So what we really want to do is this is what we want to create in C Sharp. So just kind of a reminder, this is the aggregation pipeline. So four stages: a match, a project, a sort, and a limit. And we now need to create this in our .NET application. So let's take a look at what that looks like when creating a BSON document. So this should be kind of interesting, and my slides are advancing slowly. So I will just talk slowly. There we go. Okay, so what we need to do first is create the match pipeline stages. So that in and of itself is just a BSON document. And in fact, each pipeline stage is its own BSON document. So I'll create the BSON document for the match pipeline stage first. And so this one looks kind of like what we saw on the shell screenshot. But it's a little nested because I have to create BSON documents within BSON documents. And it's to get a little hairy with all the curly braces. But it's still readable. You can kind of see what's going on. But the next stage that we're is the project stage. And so if you remember, this is the one that has to do some sort of conditional to figure out, if the bat or the at bats is zero or not, what type of calculation do I perform? And now it starts to get fairly complex because now not only do I have BSON documents within BSON documents, I have BSON documents and BSON documents that have conditional operators that then have BSON documents inside of those. And then I even throw in some BSON arrays because I want to do some sort of a quality check. So this gets complicated. And this is a fairly easy calculation to work with. Once we start getting into some of the more sabermetric type of stats, these BSL documents get incredibly complex and very deep in terms of their nesting. So we've created the match and the project pipeline stages as BSON documents. Now let's just create sort and limit. And after dealing with the project pipeline document, sort and limit, this is a walk in the park. Just basically one thing we're setting and a single value. So I laugh at the nested BSON document because I've already done the project BSON document stage. So that's nothing. So now we've created our four pipeline operations as BSON documents. This is essentially what we return back to whoever's going to execute this pipeline operation. We basically have to create just an array of BSON documents. And so that's what that last line does, is that it just returns a new array of these four BSON documents. So not too bad, pretty easy. And what this tends to remind me of, and I guess I wish I hadn't waited so long to hit the next slide. But with all the curly braces and everything, what this reminds me of is a picture I saw, I forget where I saw it, probably on Twitter somewhere, of this PHP program. It was just all these nested if statements. And eventually, all these BSON documents and BSON arrays, you end up with kind of a hierarchy like this. It can kind of drive you nuts sometimes when you are trying to debug this stuff. So instead of working with BSON documents and BSON arrays like we did on the previous couple slides, with the 2.0 version of the Mongo C# driver, you can actually get away from that and actually just stay within your .NET code and really just create link-like extension method types of things. And so in this case here, we can issue the same type of query to perform our batting average calculation using the aggregation pipeline just by issuing the using a couple aggregation helper methods. So notice we have, like on the third line there, my aggregate call. And really that just kind of sets everything up. So it's a nice fluent interface. And so off of my collection, I'm basically saying, okay, I want to perform an aggregation. And the first stage I'm going to create is my match aggregation pipeline stage. And within match, all I do is I basically just provide an expression of what I am going to filter on. So I'm filtering on year equaling the year that was passed in, and also at-bats are greater than or equal to the minimum number of at-bats. In that case, it would be 502. And essentially then after that, the next step in my Fluent interface then is the project stage. And so that's basically just taking the results from a match, projecting it to a simple batter, and doing the same calculation that we've done before. The next stage is sorting by descending. So it takes results from project, sorts them in descending order by batting average. It limits the results then, the next pipeline stage, to whatever limit number was passed in, so 25 or 50 or whatever number. And then we basically just take that result and just get a list back at that point. So at that point, that toList async essentially executes our aggregation pipeline. And then we get the results back in an async manner, and we return them back to whoever called us. So it's much cleaner, a lot easier to kind of get our heads around than dealing with BSON documents. And so that's a huge advance in the 2.0 driver. It took those guys, I think, a while to do that. It was a lot of work, and it looks pretty good. So I'm very happy. I'm glad I don't have to construct BSON documents on the fly all the time. So as we said before, the aggregations in the 2.0 driver are now defined via a Fluent interface, but still it's creating those BSON documents under the hood, so you can always fall back to BSON documents if you need to. And the nice thing is that the aggregations are performed on the server, so they're performed on the server as a whole, so that the entire, all those stages that you created through the aggregation helpers are sent to the server, they're executed there, and the results are sent back to you. And so in the remaining examples, what we're going to do is really kind of show the Mongo shell and any corresponding C# code that goes along with those baseball calculations. And for the most part, I'll be using the 2.0 driver, except for the last two examples. I'll fall back to using the 1x driver. But other than that, that's kind of like the intro to the aggregation pipeline in Mongo. So it's a real fast intro. And now let's get into the fun. So now let's start taking a look at some batting statistics. We'll start with some easy ones and then start getting into some of the more interesting calculations. So what we want to do first is, well, let's take a look at batting or on-base percentage or on-base average, some people call it. And it's generally seen as a better indicator of a batter's performance than just plain old batting average. Because on-base percentage actually takes into account how many walks they've had and hit-by pitches and some other things. And so it's a much more it's more in line with measuring how often a person gets on base rather than just how often they hit the ball. And so the formula for on-base percentage is at the bottom. So it's hit plus walks plus hit-by pitches divided by the sum of at-bats, walks, hit-by pitches, and sacrifice flies. And if we take a look at this and what this would look like in the shell on Mongo's shell, it's a fairly simple aggregation pipeline. Doesn't look like we're doing a whole lot different than what we did with batting average. And really, on-base percentage is not that much different than batting average, except for the fact that the numerator and denominator are a little bit more complicated. So if we were to kind of visualize what that aggregation looks like, it really would be just a series of steps where we're taking the results, we're piping them through four different pipeline stages. So we have a match, we have a project, we have a sort, and then a limit, which is just like what we did with baseball with the batting average. Taking a look at the C-sharp code, so this is using the 2.0 version of the driver once it comes up. There we go. So again, since the 2.0 driver supports async, might as well take advantage of it. And again, it looks a lot like what we did with batting average. So we basically have our collection, which is our batting collection. We're calling the aggregate sort of initializer for the fluid interface. I set my match filter criteria. I then pipe those results to my project stage. I'm going to project them into a simple OBP POCO object. And then I'm going to sort them in descending order by on-base percentage and then just pull back the first 25 results and display them out to my screen. And so I've also created sort of a simple little UI to kind of display some of these stats and just take a look at some of the players over the years. And so if we take a look at 2013, I haven't updated my database yet for 2014. I need to do that. But Miguel Cabrera was the on-base percentage leader, so he was an absolute monster in that year. So got on base almost half the time, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. It's nice that, and this is where the LAMA database really comes into play, is that we have all this data available to us, and we can just crank out all these different types of stats and really see who the top players are. And looking at these different stats, you can kind of see why certain players are paid. Maybe not to the extent that they're paid, but why they're valued so much more than other players are. So another interesting stat, and so now we're getting into more of the sabermetric type of stats, is one called runs created. And so we're actually going to look at runs created both from a player perspective and also from a team perspective. And so this is one of the earlier sabermetric stats that was invented, so to speak. This one was created by Bill James. And what it tries to measure is the number of runs that a player produces for their team. So it's one thing to say a batter hits the ball. It's another thing to say a batter gets on base. But really the true measure of how good somebody is how many runs do they actually contribute to the overall score for the team? Because if someone doesn't produce any runs, then really how much value are they to that particular team? So this was one of the early stats Bill James created, and so the formula is pretty simple, which is why I decided to pick it as one of my first ones to play around with. The interesting thing is that the generally accepted, conventional wisdom is that a team's run created calculation usually is within 5% of the actual number of runs that that team produces. So it's actually pretty interesting. To see how close sometimes those numbers can be. And we'll take a look at that in a couple screenshots. But runs created is pretty easy. It's really just hits plus walks times the total bases that were produced, and then divided by the number of at-bats and walks for that particular player. So if we take a look at what that projection looks like in the Mongo shell. So again, this one's pretty simple. It's sort of in line with what we saw with average and on-base percentage. The interesting thing is that in the project stage, the RC, which is runs created field, actually has several layers of nesting there. So that's actually what creates some of the interesting bits when we start doing this in .NET. So we're dividing, the numerator part of the division operation is actually a multiplication operation that then adds a bunch of fields together. So looking at this, the pure formula on the previous screen, that wasn't too bad. But when you have to start creating the BSON document for this, it starts to look pretty crazy. And then if we visualize what that pipeline projection looks like, and I should have put animation in this slide. It's going to take a second or two to get to it. Again, four stages. So again, we're taking the results from the collection, piping them through a match, which then goes through project, sort, and limit. So again, the same four stages we've dealt with before. We'll change this up a little bit on the next operation. And then if we take a look at what the C# code looks like, again, we're doing this in .NET 2.0, or the 2.0 version of the Mongo driver. And again, it's the same type of thing. I have the aggregate sort of initializer for the Fluent interface. I have my match filter criteria, which then goes to the project, which creates a simple runs created DTO or a POCO object, and then just pipes it through the sort and limit pipeline stages. So if we take a look again at our little front end that displays who created the most runs in 2013, probably wouldn't be much surprise based on the on-base percentage and some of the other numbers is that, again, Miguel Cabrera was a big producer of runs. And so the next closest person, Mike Trout, I think he was runner-up for MVP. He was quite a distance away from Miguel in terms of the number of runs created. So far and away, again, he was a monster that particular year. So the interesting thing, though, that we want to take a look at, though, is saying, okay, if we take a look at all of a team's runs created calculation, and then compare that to the actual runs that were created by that team, how close are those numbers? How close is that calculation? So again, what we'll do is here's the from the shell perspective, this is what that aggregation pipeline looks like. So again, we're just going to take a look at the year 2013, but now we're going to pipe the results from that match stage to a group stage. And so group is pretty powerful. Group basically is like a reduction type of stage. So I'm basically giving my group pipeline stage all this data, and I'm going to say, well, I want you to group on team ID. That's the ID I'm going to group on. So I'm going to group on team ID, and then all these other fields I want you to perform some sort of aggregation on. So obviously hits, walks, doubles, triples, home runs, and at-bats, we're just going to sum those. But it's very possible I could average them. I could do something else with them. I could perform some other operation on those fields. So that's my group pipeline stage. And then I'm going to take the results of that group pipeline stage and pipe it to a projection stage. And so what that project stage is going to then calculate is, okay, what's my runs created? So I have to take that grouping from the previous stage and do my division and then the nested multiplication and the nested addition in order to, again, calculate that runs created formula. And then I'll just sort by runs created in descending order. And again, I didn't hit my animation fast enough, so we got to wait 1 second here for everything to kind of catch up. Really wish I could just skip that stage. But again, what we're doing is we're matching, we're piping it to a group, we're then piping that to a project, and then we pipe it to a sort. And from a .NET perspective, using the 2.0 version of the Mongo driver, this is what it looks like. And it, again, resembles pretty much what we were doing before. So it's pretty easy to start working with the driver once you start getting familiar with the pipeline stages in Mongo and how they correspond to their aggregation helper methods in the driver. The interesting thing here that I did wasn't on the shell, so this is a slight deviation between the two, is that my group by or my group stage, if you notice that, the first parameter to the group method, I'm actually grouping on two fields. So my grouping can be just a single field, but I can also group on, I can have my group key be multiple fields if I need to. So it's just like the group by operation in link. I can have a single field or multiple fields. And so the nice thing is that if I need to group on multiple fields, this supports that right out of the box pretty easily. And then if you notice in the projection stage, I can then pull out each element of my multi-key grouping key just through the object structure. So if you notice the first line inside of my project creator there, so ID equals B.key.teamID, and then year is two lines down from there. So again, other than that, it's basically the same as the shell script for creating this data. And when we go ahead and run that, we can actually take a look at a couple different years and see how close we were in terms of figuring out runs created versus the real runs. And so it's pretty close. There's a couple teams that are outside of the 5% mark for 2013. I actually ran it for 2012 and 2011 also. And again, each one of those years, there's only just like one or two outliers here and there. 2011, once that comes up, Cincinnati is like the second one from the bottom. That's actually one kind of interesting. Because it was almost dead on, which is pretty interesting. So once that advances, we'll start talking about salaries. And I'll just ask real quick, Sam, are there any questions coming through on the chat box?
So far, the questions have been relating to the material that's going to be made available after the presentation.
Okay.
And basically, a yes, that's the answer to everyone. It will be available. We'll have the URL posted shortly afterwards. Okay. And Dave will also have a slide with all his contact information as well.
Yes, I will. So in terms of baseball stats, one of the stats I'm always just fascinated by is just the salaries, because they just seem so out of this world for people that play a game. And it's a game that I love, and if I could play, I would love to make $30 million a year. I'm not sure who wouldn't. But it's interesting to really just to take a look at salaries over time. The one that really catches my eye is Albert Bell in the middle. In 1999, he made about $12 million, and that was actually more than the entire Pirates payroll for that particular year. And I think the Pirates almost made the playoffs that year. Almost. So anyway, I took a look at a lot of the stats data or the salary data that's also contained within Sean Layman's database, and I figured, well, I'll create my own sabermetric stats. So it'll say cost per base. And so really what this does is this is a simple division operation to say, okay, player A made $20 million last year. The number of total bases that they actually got, so total bases being the number of hits plus doubles plus triples times two and home runs times three, and then you know dealing with stolen bases and walks and hit by pitches and subtracting how many times they got caught stealing. How much did each one of those bases that they earned, how much did that cost the team? And so I thought that would be kind of an interesting stat to kind of play around with. So I'm waiting for the Sabre folks to give me a call and want to copyright that. So it's definitely not predictive, but it's something just to kind of play around with and have some fun with. And so what this actually does is this actually has to use kind of two collections, and hopefully this is readable. But what we're doing is we need to first calculate total bases. And then once we calculate total bases, we can then pull out total bases and use that in our calculations for salary comparisons. So the interesting thing with Mongo, if you don't know, with document databases, or at least with Mongo, you can't really join collections. So collections are essentially independent standalone sets of documents that don't really allow you to join a whole lot. So I need to create total bases first and then pull in my salary information later on. So creating total bases, again, it's just a basic pipeline operations that we've done before, matching, grouping, projecting, and all that kind of stuff. And then the next step that I need to do is then figure out cost per base. So what I'm going to do then is use my total base operation that I did. Actually, I forgot to mention. Sorry. Is that the last
Dave,
pipeline stage?
If I could interrupt you for a second.
Yes.
Sorry, I had a comment that the font was a little too small on that slide. Is it possible if you can expand it on your end?
I don't know if I can. Not at this point, because I'm afraid how long it would take to refresh. Sorry about that. I will.
Or possibly read through it, and then the slide deck will be available for download later.
Yep, I will do that.
Very
So
good.
if I take a look at, hopefully you can see my mouse. So the first stage here is just a match stage, basically what we've done before. So we're matching on year and making sure that the person has a minimum number of at bats. We then take the results of match and then pipe it through a group stage. And we're grouping just on player ID in this particular case, and then we're doing a number of sum aggregations at this point. At this, the next stage then is our projection stage. This is where we're just calculating the total number of bases that they've earned based on that calculation on the previous slide. We're going to do a sort. And then the last pipeline stage here is called out. And this was that newer pipeline stage that takes the results of your operation and outputs them to another collection within Mongo. So this the out async pipeline stage helper here will immediately execute your aggregation pipeline stage. So as soon as the out async is called, it will actually submit that BSON document that you're building under the hood to the Mongo server for execution, and then the results of that execution of the aggregation pipeline that you just created will be persisted to a collection that in this case is called total bases with the year concatenated at the end. So that's the collection that we're going to use in the next stage to figure out cost per base. And so in that case, what we're doing here, if it comes up, is really just a simple query at this point in time. So we're basically just pulling back the total bases for a particular year, and then we're just going to go through our salaries collection, and inside the .NET code, we're then going to kind of merge that data together. So it's not probably the most efficient way to do this, but that's how we're going to be doing this sort of pseudo joining of collections. This is actually one situation where MapReduce, you could get away with doing some merging using a MapReduce operation in Mongo. So I am trying to get a blog post together around that. So stay tuned for that. That is coming soon. And so if we take a look at our results from the cost per base calculation, the most expensive person in 2013 was, and we'll have the drum roll, was Vernon Wells. So he made about $25 million. He only had 182 total bases, and so each base that he got cost the team about $135,000, which is pretty crazy. And again, all the code that I'm showing, including the front end, will be part of a GitHub project that I'll have a link to at the very end. So I'm going to go through these next couple slides here kind of quick and just talk about weighted on-base average, which then feeds into this other thing called weighted runs above average. So weighted on-base average is like on-base percentage, except it has other factors applied. So it's sort of like on-base percentage on steroids. But really what it does is it just takes on-base percentage calculations to a whole nother level. And there are factors for every single year, for every type of base that you can earn, and then sort of applies all these different factors to all these different types of hits. So it gets pretty complicated pretty quickly. And so it's pretty nasty. What I wanted to show though is, and I got to advance my slides because I have a bunch of animations here, is I want to get to where the aggregation is actually created. So this actually aggregation goes through a number of different pipeline stages. The final stage was an output stage that creates sort of this weighted on base average collection that I'm going to use for weighted runs above average. When I start creating my pipelines here, I'm actually creating again a match pipeline, which we've done many times. I'm actually using a redact pipeline here, so I want to remove any at bats that don't meet the minimum threshold. So this is actually some interesting syntax that the redact pipeline stage provides. So it's really an if-then-else type of condition. So that's a nice little feature that's available. The Redact pipeline stage also is not available in the 2.0 version of the Mongo driver, so keep that in mind, which is why we're doing it the old way. So again, this is probably unreadable. It looks fine on my machine, but the text is probably too small. But really, this is creating the project pipeline stage, and so it's just doing a lot of calculations here. The last three stages that we're then creating, the limit, the sort, and the out pipelines when it comes up, are again really simple. And then after dealing with the project pipeline stage, these three stages are pretty easy to get a handle on. I only have about 4 minutes left, so I want to just skim through these next slides here real quick and just realize that it's taking too long in advance.
And David, just to let you know, while you're doing that, I'm going to put up some poll slides up on the screen. So ladies and gentlemen, if you look to your left-hand viewing area, you'll see some poll slides up. We'd greatly appreciate your feedback. I'll go ahead and just pull those up as you're doing any closing comments. Go ahead.
Okay. So just visualizing what our pipeline looks like, we actually have the weighted on-base average factors actually feeding into our match pipeline stage. And then again, it's sort of the same type of dance we've done before. So pipeline feeds into project feeds to sort feeds to out, and then we then produce the runs above average collection at the very end that we can use for other calculations. We actually ends up getting used for war calculations also down the road. So not to go through all the calculations again, but let's get to the final slide here to kind of show who really has the highest weighted runs above average overall. And again, it's Miguel Cabrera for 2013. And so that weighted runs above average calculation really says that he basically produced 133 more runs than the average player in the league, which is pretty crazy. It's almost a whole other run per game, which is pretty intense. Andrew McCutchen, Pirate player there, look at that, 95 runs. That's pretty awesome. I had to get a Pirate plug in there somewhere. Okay, so let's just wrap everything up since we're almost out of time. So again, much of the aggregation pipeline Mongo can be done with link like syntax. Just keep in mind if all you're doing is a find and then you project off of those finds, that find operation is going to be done on the server. Everything else you do after find is going to be done on the client. So if you're dealing with lots of data, fairly intensive types of computations, you may not want them being done on your client. You may want to offload that to the Mongo server. So keep that in mind. And that's where the aggregation pipeline comes into play. The entire aggregation pipeline that you create, all those different stages are executed on the server, and then the results are streamed back to you. So that's something to keep in mind. You may need to take advantage of out, the out pipeline stage, if you need to do some intermediary work on tables, or maybe creating, or I shouldn't say tables, collections, or if you need just to create some common sets of data that could be used for other types of calculations down the road. And then also know that the group IDs can be multi-valued. So, in one situation, we were grouping just on player ID. In other cases, we can actually group on multiple IDs. I'll have I guess all the slides will be available up on the site, but it'll also be off of my website, too, if you need to grab them. Just a list of resources if you're interested in that. So the link for Sean Lehman's database is there, and you can download his annual database from there. And then, let's continue the conversation. If you have other questions, if you need more information, again, my Twitter, blog, and email addresses are there. And the content, all the examples and everything will be up on GitHub in that repository by this weekend. So I need to make a few final edits and then I'll publish them up there. But again, if you have any other questions or whatever, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or email. And I really appreciate your time. So let's see if we have one more question. Tim, do we have time for one more question?
We have one last question. And,
okay, great.
That's from Uday. He's asking, is it possible to have a dollar sign match after dollar sign project, like having after group I in SQL?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think you can. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to. I haven't done that. I'm not aware of any limitation to doing that. I would have to play around with that, but my gut says you should be able to do that, because really Match just takes in the set coming in and then allows you to filter based on whatever criteria you might have.
Okay,
I hope that
very
answers
good.
Your question. And if there's nothing else, then I think we're all done. We'll shut her down so the next folks can get set up. So thank you, everybody, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.